I know that that particular ad turned a key because within 7 days of posting it, I had 10 listing pitches lined up. So I had already had three listings that I was able to win. I probably pitched, I mean, my batting average was awful. I think I pitched 20 listings and I ended up with three of them. And so, I mean, I was, like that laid me out. And so to have that kind of shift was a real boost. And now looking at the last 365, I mean, I've in 15 years, this doubles my next best, 365 day period of, for listing volume.
This is the Platform Marketing Show, where we interview the most creative and ambitious real estate agents in the country, dissect their local marketing strategy, and get the behind the scenes scoop on how they're generating listing leads and warm referrals. We'll dive into the specifics of what marketing campaigns are working for them, how much they're spending on those campaigns, and figure out how they have perfected what we call the platform marketing strategy. This is your host, Tim Shermack. I'm the founder and CEO of Platform. I love marketing and I talk too much. So let's dive in. Hey guys, this is Tim Shermack and welcome back to another episode of the Platform Marketing Show. I'm joined today with Bill Catlett, who might just be the most creative realtor in these United States of America. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
So Bill and I have actually been Facebook friends for 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. We had some mutual friends in common. Sean Malone, I think, was the main mutual friend we had, who used to be the creative director at FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education. Somehow we got connected. And I think you used to be in a band with Sean.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Something like that.
And
so anyways, we were connected. I found out at some point that you were a real estate agent. It's like, oh, well, this is weird. I have a real estate marketing agency called Platform. And I think I shot you a couple Facebook messages back in, 2017, 2018, something like that. Like, hey, man, we should talk about Platform sometime. And, you were polite and I was polite. I wasn't harassing you or anything, but it just wasn't the right time. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're like, hey, maybe later, but in the meantime, we were actual Facebook friends. So we would comment on each other's stuff, like each other's posts. We kind of knew each other in that digital virtual sense.
Yep.
And eventually I think what happened is you just saw enough of my posts and Platform Marketing's retargeting post about, the successes our clients were having, where eventually you're like, maybe I should give this a shot. So we were just talking before the show here. Your business was at about, $50,000 after your split and everything? Like your take home pay was probably around 50.
Probably less. Yeah. But yeah, we're
okay. So let's
ballpark.
Let's just say $40,000 to $50,000, right, somewhere, yeah, in there. Mm-hmm. was your GCI, the year before Platform. So that's kind of like the control of mm-hmm. where things were at.
Yep.
And that's actually very average,
yeah,
for real estate agents across mm-hmm. the United States. I think people out there have this conception that the average agent is making 100 or 150 grand a year. It's like, no. The average agent is making somewhere between 30 and 50,000 typically. So that was you, mm-hmm. you had enough to maybe at the bare minimum be paying your bills, but you certainly were not thriving in any sense financially.
Yeah.
And you joined Platform in January of 2019. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
Okay. So just walk us through what that process looked like that led you to decide to give us a try. And by the way, I'm going to spoil the punchline right now because I hate when people use a clickbait and they're like, we'll reveal the cool stuff later. Let's spoil the punchline. You're on pace this year to probably do $250,000 in GCI or more. You currently are looking at your listing pipeline and it's like a dozen listings that have verbally told you, yes, we're listing with you.
Yeah.
I mean, things are going really, really well right now. And you started from a point where, you were making 50 grand a GCI. So
yeah, it was garbage.
How did you get to that point where you decided to give Platform a try, and what specifically attracted you to the Platform strategy versus other marketing programs out there?
Yeah. And I spent a lot of time, looking at different marketing programs. I spent a lot of time, honestly, hawking your clients. And seeing what kind of ads they were running. We were having a conversation for probably a good, I'm going to say at least 12 to 18 months. And so the things that you know, I guess really.
Yeah, I think there were several phone calls interspersed in there where you'd call and ask me questions.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you remember this. I wouldn't call you. I would send you a Facebook message and I would be like, hey, Tim, I have a quick question on, you know, like this ad copy or whatever. And you would call me, right? Like I would just get a call. I wouldn't get a response on the Facebook message, like just right away. So we had probably a good half dozen conversations. I was like trying to just copy whatever you guys were doing. I saw the ads that your clients were running. There's a wide breadth of different kinds of ads, right, that you guys are running for your clients, right? So it wasn't, I mean, there wasn't a pattern, but the most consistent pattern that I noticed through that whole process was Tim Shermack actually calls me. Like if I, you know, there was another marketing company, I don't even remember what the name of it was, but I had to sit through the hour long webinar. And then I had to have a phone consult. And then at the end of the phone consult, they finally gave me the price. And I'm like, okay, I've invested 2 hours with these people before I even know what it's going to cost me. And then, you know, I get a customer service rep out of a call center in Calcutta or whatever. Right. So
that is just absolutely one of my pet peeves, and not even about like marketing companies, but just any company for any product or service in general.
Right.
I hate it when you go to their website and it's like, call us for pricing. It's right. like immediately if it says call us for pricing, I'm like, screw you. I'm gonna go with someone else. Cause if you're that cowardly that you won't even put the price on your website, like you're just not a company that I would want to do business with.
And we do that in real, right. Realtors are notorious for that. We do that in this business is, you know, we make people basically, you know, sit around for, you know, a good, you know, there's usually a meeting to tour the home and a meeting to, you know, to talk about the price, and then people get the price. Right. And so, you know, one of the heavy hitting points for our relationship was the first phone conversation we ever had, right? You called me, and I don't know if we've been talking on Facebook or not, but you reached out to me and you said, hey, you know, we have a mutual friend in Sean Malone, and he gave me your information because I'm not sure how you got my number. Maybe I had said, yeah, give me a call.
I will share you a secret.
Yeah.
When someone doesn't give me their number,
yeah,
I'm aware of the fact that every real estate agent has their number publicly.
On
the internet. Yeah. Like you kind of want to be found. So if I know someone's name, it's really not that hard to get their cell number.
so you called up and I was like, what's Sean doing? Give my information out. And then I thought, oh, well, that's stupid. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Damn it, Sean.
But I think in the first couple sentences I'm probably leaving a lot of details out, but the feeling tone of the conversation was, you know, my name's Tim. I run a marketing platform for, you know, real estate agents, and, we charge, you know, whatever the fee was at the time. That was like, you led with that. And I instantly thought, this guy's either just a complete idiot.
Worst salesperson ever.
Who just leads with that, or he's a genius. So what finally triggered that decision was, you know, I woke up one morning in early January and I was like, so I either need to make a full commitment because, you know, my referral pipeline is dead effectively. Like I've called these people, you know, I've sent them gifts. I've maxed it out, for the tiny budget I have. And I was like, I need leads and I need some kind of marketing presence, right, that I haven't been building. Right. And that was, I sort of started to piece together all the mistakes. I read your book, High Hanging Fruit, and, you know, and that was pretty illustrative on a lot of stuff that I was doing wrong. And I still had a very fuzzy vision of that. It's not like everything came into focus for me at once.
I have to stop you. I'm pretty sure you're the first guest on the Platform Marketing Show ever to use the word illustrative in a conversation. So I need to send you some cookies or something. That was clever. All right.
Well, let the loquaciousness begin. So I had this sense that like I was doing a lot of things wrong and that I wasn't good at a whole bunch of stuff. And it didn't matter how good I was at selling houses, all the other biz dev stuff, I was sucking royally at. And fortunately, it was like the same day. if it wasn't the same day, it was the same week where, you know, where I was sitting down with my wife and I was like, you know, I think I'd probably just need to find, you know, find a different line of work. And so you gave me a call out of the blue and said, hey, you know, we have a, you know, at the time, you know, this is 3 years ago. So, you know, he said at the time, Platform had a tiered pricing that you had just started to offer, right, to help people kind of, you know, ramp up to the full fee.
Yep. It was basically a discount over the first 6 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
Something like that. So I put pencil to paper and I was like, well, actually this is still, you know, like for me with the ad spend and everything else, this is a scary amount of money, but like, I'm either going to take out a loan and save my business today, or I'm going to go do something else. And
you're gonna like quit real estate
entirely. Yeah I mean, I probably would have hung on to the license and, you know, and done it super part-time, and, you know, been one of those people that you really don't want to buy a house with, right? Because they,
yeah, like you would have had to go out and find like a real job somewhere.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. And that was, you know, so yeah. And so you called me, you just happened to call me that week, and I was like, you know what, we're gonna pull the trigger on this and full speed ahead. So, and that was, I mean, that was kind of the, I mean, there was a lot of pressure to make that decision. But it wasn't, the thing is, like, you know, there's a sales approach that's like, here's the 17 bullet point list of things we offer our clients. It's like, if you need a 17 bullet point list to sell anything, chances are you're probably full of crap. You just like, just find one thing to be able to, like, one bullet point to be able to sell on. The rest of it's just gravy, right? And the one thing that you and I had was like, man, you know, every time I've reached out to this guy with simple questions, he calls and we have a 20-minute conversation. And like, you were willing to invest way ahead. Like, we're talking, I mean, it was a year to 18 months that we were, you know, talking back and forth before you made a dime from that association. Right. And so that level of investment, you know, I looked at that, I was like, wow, that's like, I really had to figure out what the reflection was in my own business. I was like, am I really doing that with my clients? Right. And around the same time I'd read High Hanging Fruit and realized that like, I wasn't quite connecting with my clients on that consistent level. Right. And playing the long game. Right. And so that was, yeah, having, I think it was just,
yeah, like having that long-term marketing model.
Yeah. Right. Right. Thinking, right. Yeah.
And how do I pick up appointments in the next month? It's more like, how do I position my business to succeed and thrive 6 months from now? Or yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, like it was like in the time I made that decision, I was like, I need revenue today. But you know, I also had a bunch of skills that, you know, that I could employ to, you know, pull that out so I was like, all right, you know, let's figure out how to get just enough revenue to eke by until this thing starts working. While Professor Long Game, which is you, you know, kind of schools me on, you know, on how to move forward here. And so that's, you know, that's like the, you know, I think that's the main, that was the main selling point for me.
So you were most interested in hiring, you know, a marketing agency or starting a marketing program that was focused on building that long-term brand, just because you knew that that's the way that you wanted, obviously, to be running your business. So mm-hmm. one, obviously, you know, fast forward to today, present time, like your business has technically what, quintupled? Is that the right verb? Going from 50 to 250 or 300 or
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like whatever that is. So like, things are great. You know, now you're at that point in your career where like you can go out to eat and not necessarily have to look at the price on the menu, or you know, like you can, you know, you have a little bit of spending money that you didn't have when maybe you were bringing in $50,000-$60,000 a year. So that's awesome. Let's talk about the specific marketing strategies and tactics you used to get to that point. Right. So I introduced you on this episode as like quite possibly being the most creative realtor in these United States of America. And I honestly mean that, because if you go look up Bill Catlett's page, by the way, he's a realtor in Lincoln, Nebraska. So he's not in some super cool city like LA or New York or Miami or something.
It's not a metro.
Yeah. He's in Lincoln, Nebraska, mm-hmm. which is where the University of Nebraska is, Cornhuskers.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, a very stereotypical Midwestern big small town or small big town, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the population of Lincoln? Like a couple hundred thousand, 100,000? It's not huge.
It's 325,000. Okay. So
in the greater area. Yeah. So it's not even 500,000 people, right? So it's like a city with like air quotes again.
It's a
big small town or a small big town.
It's in a good spot population wise.
Your median price point's what, around 250?
Yeah,
300?
I think median this year is 265. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. So for you, like selling a $300,000 to $350,000 house is like, that's a pretty nice transaction size in your area.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of people in other parts of the country, you know, they're so used to just routinely selling $400,000-$500,000 homes that when they hear that, for example, someone had 7 or 8 or 10 million in production, they're like, well, that's not even a big deal. It's like, try having 7, 8, 10 million production when you're selling $200,000 homes. Realtor
it's 50
is
houses,
kicking ass.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So you're in a very just like sweet spot, middle class Americana market, right? Just a very good model market for much of the rest of the country, where if it worked for Bill, it could work for you. And yet I love that you're not just relying on generic lead generation ads or just, you know, following some, you know, copy and paste template recipe. Your ads are like exceedingly creative. So as an example, Bill has a musical background. He used to actually be in a touring musical group. He currently is still in an a cappella group that like records albums and tours. So like he's a full-time realtor and also somehow a full-time musician, like a professional musician. Bill is the bass in the group. He has this incredibly sexy, deep voice. And, you know, he finds a way to incorporate that into his marketing. So when we say, hey, Bill, let's film listing videos. When you have listings, let's have you film a video and then we'll run obviously social media ads of these listing videos to help bring in both buyers and sellers. And Bill thinks, well, okay, that's something. I guess that's interesting. But I've seen other agents do listing videos. How do I kind of take this to level, you know, 11? And he's like, what if I wrote an original song for these listings, and I write the musical, you know, notes for the song as well as custom lyrics? And he plays guitar as well, so he has a buddy who owns a recording studio. So like, this sounds so far-fetched, but I'm being totally serious. Bill will write, you know, for some of his listings, he'll write a custom song, actually go record it in a studio with like professional sound mixing and everything, and then film a music video tour of the house, because the lyrics are about the house. So he'll find ways to rhyme the beautiful gourmet kitchen or the backyard or the neighborhood that's in or whatever.
Some pretty atrocious rhymes. Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, but it's fun. They're so amazingly cheesy and fun that I'm like, these videos just get tens of thousands of views because it's a realtor like swinging a guitar playing, and it's like a high quality recording. So again, like, he's actually going into a professional recording studio and recording songs for some of these listings. And if you're like watching the lyrics, like the lyrics actually rhyme and it's about the house. And so it just catches your eye. Cause like, you know, not only is no one doing that, obviously in Lincoln, it's like, I don't think there's agents doing that across the US. So that extra bit of creativity kind of is like pouring gasoline on the fire of your ad performance. So I'm actually logged in right now to your ads account, and I sorted the campaigns you've done by which got the most video views. And I'm like, holy crap, you have so many videos that have tens and tens of thousands of views. The top one is the video you did for 2626 Everett Street, if you remember that one.
Yep, the yellow house.
And that's been shown to over 174,000 people.
I was just on Facebook the other day. Yeah.
The average cost per video view is 1 penny.
Yeah.
So it, like, the ad was doing so well that Facebook was only charging you 1 penny for every video view.
Yep.
And that ad's been served to 174,000 people. Again, that's like half the population of, it's actually probably every adult in Lincoln, because we factor
easily. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Half the population in any area is kids, like under 18. And so if you have one listing video that's been shown to 174,167 people, that means every adult in the entire metro area of Lincoln has seen that mathematically. you have another one that has 84,748 views. The third place one has 64,000 views. The next one has 39,000, and then a bunch of them that have 30. There's another one that has 46,000. I mean, I'm just like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, actually, here's another one I just saw that has 80,000 impressions. Another one has 72,000, and so these videos are getting all these, you know, views and engagement because they're creative. It's yeah. not like Bill is spending thousands and thousands of dollars blasting out these listing videos. You are investing a good amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But absolutely. You're spending probably yeah. several hundred dollars on each video, not several thousand dollars. So just to be clear, when I say he's getting 100,000, you know, views on a video, it's not because he's like, oh, I'm gonna spend $3,000 promoting this video. It's like,
yeah, no, right.
It's,
yeah.
it's because the ad is performing that well with a relatively small budget. It's the creativity that's making
that's
the
right.
engagement kind of go viral.
And so, that's the, I mean, the quantitative, I mean, it's interesting to get quantitative and realtors like to do that, right? You know, for example, I mean, I know that the difference between, you know, a music video and just a regular, you know, kind of tour video, like the first tour video I ever did with Platform is just remarkably boring. And it still, I mean, it still performed really, really well. Like I did that the second day I was with Platform, cause you guys, you know, gave me my homework and I went and did it. I mean, I was pretty impressed with that, and that's probably one, sure. that's the most boring video I've ever made. And the ad spend on that, you know, I think the cost per view was probably 10 cents. Right. And so, you know, you're talking about going from 10 cents to a penny. Well, these are all small numbers, but like imagine spending $100 on an ad. Right. And right. and then spending $1,000 on an ad. That's the difference that the creativity brings.
Yeah. Like
that's
actually difference. Literally a 10 to 1. And so, I mean, actually your ads
right.
by an order of magnitude,
yeah.
10 to 1 get better results than the average agent who's not putting any creativity into those videos. And by the way, if anyone wants to go check out Bill's page on Facebook to see some examples of these ads and videos, the name of his page is Bill Catlett. Realtor, comma, Nebraska Realty. So the name yep. of his Facebook page is Bill Catlett, Realtor, Nebraska Realty.
And I have That's all my I have all page. My music videos tagged. It came up with a custom tag because I call myself the crappy Weird Al of real estate, and because it's kind of what I mean. I make silly songs. So if you just look up hashtag crappy Weird Al of real estate, you'll probably, I don't know if anybody else is using that hashtag, so you'll probably find it pretty easily that way.
Yeah, probably not. Now, if you actually look at Bill's page, to be clear, he's not been successful only because of these music listing videos, because I'm sure there's a temptation for someone listening to this interview to think, well, I'm not musical. I don't know how to read music. I never took piano lessons as a kid. I don't have a musical bone in my body. I can't write songs for every listing. Like that's a cool idea for him, but that's not relevant for me, right? And yet you have tons of other ads you've done where they're just really creative that have nothing to do with music or listing videos, because you don't necessarily do these music videos for all of your listings. You just do it when it makes sense, and if the homeowner wants it, then you will. But you have tons of other videos and retargeting ads that you've done that have nothing to do with you playing a guitar or writing like an original song. You're just really creative in everything that you do. And as you said, if you want to get quantitative about that, if we look in the actual ad analytics, it's literally creating a 10 to 1 difference in the effectiveness of your ads. When we look at hard metrics like cost per video view, it's 10 cents versus one penny.
It's really important because if somebody says, man, I run into folks in my own market, I run into realtors who see my ads and they're like, man, you must spend a fortune on that stuff. You know, I just don't have that kind of budget. And I'm like, well, if they were boring ads, I would have to spend a fortune. Right. But since they're, I mean, you know, like that little spark of creativity, and we're talking, I mean, if you look at some of them, it's the first 8 seconds of the video that sell that video at a lower cost per click. It's probably less time than that. I mean, Tim, you know the stats on this.
It's the first 3 seconds of a video is what determines whether or not someone will watch the rest of it. So it doesn't matter how interesting or creative or professional or how amazing something is that's 30 seconds into the video, if people aren't watching, if you're not hooking them in within the first 3 seconds, they keep scrolling and then they're not going to watch your video.
That's right. That's right. So if you spend, you know, on any given listing, I'll spend 15 to 20 minutes brainstorming. And I got a lot of different people that I sometimes I call you up and I'm like, hey, Tim, I need a quick idea. Sometimes it's my ads manager. Sometimes it's my wife. Sometimes it's any of the other creatives that I'm connected with, or it's just me. But like, so think about it. You got a listing coming up. You spend 20 minutes brainstorming how you're going to do the first 3 seconds of the video.
Yeah.
And it 10x's the reach of your ad spend. I would say that's, I mean, if you're spending $200 to $300 on a listing tour video for the ad spend, well, you just made $2,700 in 10 minutes. Like you just, or 20 minutes, you just made your ad spend that much more efficient. And so, you know, that's really the takeaway. It takes so little on the front end of that video. Yep. And I think everybody's got some creative resource that they can tap into. You're right. I didn't want to be the guy who wrote songs, all the time. You know, I wanted to actually, you know, kind of, cause otherwise it gets a little bit gimmicky, you know?
Well, it's like, yeah, exactly. And cause it's like, let's be honest. There's probably plenty of homeowners out there who would look at some of these music videos and think, well, those are funny,
right?
But I want a little bit more of a professional realtor. Like, I don't want someone who's kind of like gimmicky like that. And I think that's the perfect word, is gimmicky.
Yeah, right.
It's hilarious. Yep. And I love it as like a marketing professional. I love when someone injects creativity into it, but there's absolutely going to be people out there that are thinking, well, that's kind of hilarious, but I'd rather just work with a professional agent who's going to sell my house for the highest price.
Right.
And I don't
right.
really want some weird video about my house.
Yeah.
And so again, you have all of these other ads, both photos and video retargeting ads, that are positioning you as being an excellent marketer and a top agent, and they have nothing to do with music. It's just that you add that into the mix and it's kind of like the icing on the cake. And looking forward, I think the ultimate proof of this is that you're not just picking up a bunch of buyer leads. Right now, you actually have, even in the seller's market we're still in, you have more listings in the pipeline than you've ever had at any point in your career. I think you said you had somewhere like 6 to 8 just lined up for basically the next 90 days. And that's not even the summer, because by the way, we're like recording this podcast episode at the end of the summer. So when we say Bill has, you know, 6 to 8 listings coming up, that's basically for Q4 of this year. And then he has another almost half dozen already verbally committed to be listing next spring with him. I mean, most realtors can't look at their listing pipeline and plot out that far ahead how much business they have coming. And that's because of your retargeting ads. So one of my favorite ads you've done that seemed to get a lot of business was a stack of pizza boxes. It was a photo, not a video. So again, if for anyone listening to this, it's not like you have to film videos constantly. Cause I know, like, honestly, a lot of marketing companies and like gurus and influencers and marketing consultants for the last 5 years have been saying video is the future. If you're not doing video, you're going to be left behind, blah, 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 blah. Right. And a large part of that was true like 5 years ago, because Google obviously owns YouTube, Facebook owns Instagram. They're these big tech titans in a battle against each other. And Facebook wanted to incentivize you to upload your videos natively right to Facebook or right to Insta. Google obviously is biased because they own YouTube. They want you to upload your videos to a YouTube. And so what Facebook decided to do, because they have, you know, obviously billions of daily active users, is they kind of gamed the algorithm in the newsfeed to rank videos higher. Like if you uploaded a video, it got a ton of views on Facebook, kind of the way right now that content uploaded to TikTok gets a ton of views because they're not charging you for those views. It's basically like a drug dealer giving away free samples where they're trying to get you hooked by giving your content a bunch of free distribution, but eventually they have to monetize it. Like none of these companies have a business model if they're not at some point gonna, you know, evolve and start charging for those views versus giving you a bunch of video views for free. So there was a period, right, like 5 years ago where Facebook absolutely was like, yeah, if you upload videos, you'll get a ton of reach on those videos, because they were trying to incentivize you to post your videos on Facebook rather than YouTube. And then the inverse was true too, where if you uploaded, if you pasted a YouTube link and you posted that in your Facebook post, Facebook would actually throttle the ad, which means they would like they would penalize you and show it to less people because they don't want people sharing YouTube links on Facebook because it brings them off of Facebook and to their competitor, which is YouTube. So that was a long-winded way of saying, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, yeah, there was some sort of like meaningful competitive advantage if you uploaded video, and almost like any video was good because Facebook would give you extra distribution on that. But increasingly, we're seeing that's not really true. Like, you can absolutely upload a video now to Facebook, and unless it is an exceptionally creative, thoughtful, substantive video that people actually are watching and sharing and engaging with, like, that video could totally get 50 views, right? You have to actually be running ads with the videos. And so what we've seen, I'd say specifically in the last 12 months, is that photo ads are often doing better than videos. And I think the reason is that photos don't look like ads. It's way easier to disguise a photo ad with some well-written copy, obviously, but it's way easier to disguise a photo ad as kind of not looking like a sponsored ad than a video, because when someone sees a video pop up in their newsfeed and it's some realtor talking about something, they just immediately, their brain kind of tunes it out because it's like, all right, that's an ad, which is why if you do a video, it has to be really creative and interesting. But the photos can kind of use the element of surprise because you're flying under their stealth radar where they don't even realize they're seeing an ad. So you ran this pizza ad, and it was a retargeting ad where it was a photo of you with, I mean, dozens of pizza boxes stacked up, and you're standing next to all these boxes talking about how many pizzas you could order because you crunched the numbers on what a large pizza was. It Sammy's, am I getting that right or no?
Ramos. Yeah. Ramos Pizza. Ramos, here, okay. Here in Lincoln. Yeah.
So walk us through the logic of that ad, what that ad is, and why it's produced so many listing leads.
So, and that was, I mean, again, because it's a photo ad, it took, I walked in, I know the guy at Ramos. I said, hey man, I'm going to give you a quick bump. Would you be okay with that? Like, nobody's not okay with free advertising. This is one thing, as I promote local businesses, a lot of business owners sort of look at me with squinty eyes. They're like, wait,
what's the catch?
Is it free though? And I'm like, yeah, it's totally free. They're like, but you're going to call me a month from now and ask me to pay you. Nope, I'm not. I just need to take a picture with all these pizza boxes. Right. And so I know the owner over there, and he knows, you know, he was already, you know, hip to my marketing. So he stacked the pizza boxes. It took, I was in and out in 5 minutes.
Yeah, this is a locally owned pizza place. Yep. It's not a franchise. You didn't go to Pizza Hut or Domino's or something.
No. It's obviously we want to focus on local business. As realtors, we're like the hub, right? And so the more it looks like we know our community, right? Because there's only so much you could talk about interest rates and market updates and stuff like that. And that's pretty boring, dry stuff. But if people are like, oh yeah, Ramos, that's in my neighborhood. You know, we go to there all the time. Right. So then it kind of gets me connected. Right. So Ramos is, you know, my neighborhood pizza joint. And so here's the gist of the ad, right. I got into mid 2021, and
most people at this point are like, all right, they've been rambling about this pizza ad for 5 minutes. What is the logical connection between an ad about a pizza place and getting listings?
Right. And it is the principal connection. So the first 6 months of 2021, my listing business, like I had a great batting average. You know, like I would pitch, if I pitched 10 listings, I would easily get 9 of them, if not 10, for a good long time. And then the market took a huge shift here in 2021. And, you know, it was a shift towards the for sale by owner end of the market. Right. And so our perceived value as a network went down drastically in this community. And so I got to the point.
Yeah. Because the market you're in, just to sprinkle in some more context here, is imagine in Lincoln, you have a homeowner, it's a couple, and it's a very middle-class family. Let's say the husband is a police officer and the wife is an educator. You know, and she works at a local public school. And they're very just the definition of American middle class. They maybe have a household income of $90,000 a year, $105,000 a year, something like that, right? And they live in a $250,000 house. When they sell that house at 6%, you know, they're looking at paying, well, I mean, what is that? Almost $15,000.
Yeah, 15 to 18, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and so they have to cover, obviously, And that's a lot of money for just a middle. I mean, they're looking at it like, this is a large chunk of change. If there's any way that we can sell for sale by owner, we're going to do that to try to save $15,000, because that's like 2 months of income for them. Right.
And that's the perception, is that we're saving that money. And I mean, we know that's not exactly.
Right. Totally. Yep. Right. Yep.
Yeah. So I decided, I wanted to shift down to a flat fee listing model, where obviously the MLS payouts, and without talking about, I'm very careful not to throw around numbers because the FTC is always listening, the payouts are still competitive with our MLS, but it was just a flat fee. I got to a point where, I like the marketing game,
right? Where you're not just screwing over the buyer's agents by saying, hey,
yeah. So, I mean, because our marketing is excellent, we have a machine, right? All that stuff is systematized, right? And so I have a very controlled end of the listing business, right? My listing business is time controlled. It's, unlike buyers, right? Buyers, you got to jump up and go show them houses right away. So I got to the point where I was like, oh, the listing machine runs extremely efficiently, right? It is now a machine, right? I call my photographer, I call my AM to discuss what we're going to do to market it. I sit down and I brainstorm, I build the assets,
for those listening who aren't familiar with platform jargon, your AM is your account manager.
That's right. Yeah.
Which in this case is Carly, and Carly is the account manager that Bill works with every week, and she has a weekly phone call with Bill. So Carly is kind of like Bill's personal marketing manager.
Yeah. So a lot of what, my work with you, Tim, and Carly, especially, is that helped build that listing machine and make it fine tuned to where I can predict the amount of time that's going to go into it. And that allowed me to lower my fee to something that would allow me to pick up a lot more listings. So I shifted to a volume model. And a lot of people get really nervous, when you start talking about that, because we have the traditional, nobody wants to be in the race to the bottom. But that ad is almost single-handedly responsible for, I can trace it back to a lot of my listing business. Now, it's impossible to say that one ad produced that response, because there's this thing called fuzzy ROI, right? And it is, the sort of confluence of all the ads that I've been producing over the last couple of years that people have been paying attention to.
Yeah. Right? And part of this too is with the platform marketing strategy, we don't just run one ad at a time.
Yeah.
At any given time, simultaneously, Bill probably has 10 ads running.
Yeah, 10 to 15
every day.
Yeah.
And like simultaneously. And so that was one of 10 to 15 ads running at any given time. And yet that particular ad of you with all the pizza boxes stacked up, which, by the way, we'll get to what that has to do with anything, right?
Yeah.
That particular ad brought a ton of inquiries in, where that they saw that ad because they commented on it, they liked it.
Yep. And I know that particular ad turned a key, because within 7 days of posting it, I had 10 listing pitches lined up.
Wow.
So I'd had three listings that I was able to win. I probably pitched, my batting average was awful. I think I pitched 20 listings and I ended up with three of them. And so, I was, that laid me out. And, so to have that kind of shift was a real boost. And now looking at the last 365, I've in 15 years, this doubles my next best, 365 day period of, for listing volume.
Ever.
And by the end of Q4, it's probably a little bit more. So to dive into the content of the pizza box ad, finally.
Yeah, everyone's like, what the hell is this ad you keep talking about? Are they ever going to tell us?
So what I did is I just said, okay, here's the...
Hey, Bill, maybe for the next 20 minutes, we should just keep talking about the ad, but not actually ever reveal what it is. And it'll just drive people crazy.
I didn't wear this shirt to the ad, but it was a shirt that was sort of like, it wasn't Birds of Paradise. It had hibiscus flowers. No, I'm just joking.
What was the weather that day? What was the barometric pressure when we launched that ad?
I think the dew point was 62 degrees. Anyway, so...
Do they use whole milk cheese in the pizzas?
it's from cows that have names, I can tell you that. And there's a very interesting Norwegian lady, and she comes and sings to the cows. It's fascinating.
And that's the key to platform marketing right there. We just revealed all of our secrets.
Sing to the cows. So anyway, I decided that I was gonna just go all in on the flat fee listing idea. So I figured the difference between what people were probably, you know, getting pitched and my flat fee. And so the average listing is going to save you, you know, somewhere between $2,500 to $3,000. And so this equates to however many pizzas, right? And so the gist of the copy of the ad is, right, with my, you know, with my flat fee listing program, I think we use the words flat fee, if I'm not mistaken. And I didn't say what the fee was. I have broker rules that dictate against that. And
yeah, so you can't list specifics. Yeah, and all that. Yeah. So you just said,
but hey, it was a metaphor.
Yeah. It's like with my, you know, with my flat fee listing promotion, the average homeowner here in Lincoln will save about $2,500. I crunched the numbers. And with this $2,500, it was like you could buy at least, I don't know, was it like 100 large pizzas?
Something like that. Yeah.
And like it actually wasn't a round number though, which made it even more believable. It was like a random number, like 114 pizzas or something like that. And then we're like, you know, if you order pizza every Friday night as a family, this is actually over 2 years in a row of family pizza nights with the money you could save. And so we kind of elaborated on like putting that number, the $2,500 or whatever it was, into concrete specific terms. That's not just a financial number. It's like, here's what this actually means for your life. This is how many pizzas you could order, and you know, with the amount of money that you save by working with me. But I think the important part is we didn't end the ad there. Because if the ad ended there, then it would just be positioning you as like a discount agent or like, hey, work with me just because I'm going to save you some money. And long term, that's obviously not the positioning we want for you. So after that, after we've hooked them in and they're reading the ad, then we talked about like your marketing plan and how it's actually just extremely robust and you're going to do a lot more to market their house than the average agent. So just because they're getting a good deal with you doesn't mean they're getting like worse representation. Yeah. In fact, your marketing is actually better than other agents. And if someone clicks on that ad, now they'll start seeing all of your other retargeting posts about the marketing you do.
Yeah.
And they realize, oh, cool. So not only am I going to, you know, maybe save some money working with Bill instead of working with some other realtor, but his marketing is actually better than other agents.
Right. And that's the consistent core of the listing side of my business. The marketing message is always, first of all, I guarantee more eyes on your listing. I guarantee more coverage for your listing than any other agent in this market is going to be able to get you. And not by like, here's a couple hundred more. And not by like, I mean, in some cases, I can demonstrate a factor of 10 or 20, or in the case of like Everett Street, 172,000 views. Like the advertising that I get for my listing clients is at a minimum 10 times more broad, right? It's reaching 10 times more people than, you know, just the ML, you know, the agents who copy it to the MLS, you know? So when I say I guarantee it, it's a landslide guarantee.
Obviously you do that too. You know, every other agent's going to put the home on the MLS professional photos. Exactly. It's like, you know, obviously you're doing that too. Mm-hmm. And all this is on top of that. And I think having the specificity is what makes that powerful. Yep. Because if you just said, hey, I'll film a video, you know, tour of your listing and we'll run a campaign on social media for it and it'll get a lot of views, and you just use ambiguous language, like it'll get a lot of views, that's not really that convincing as an argument on a listing presentation. But if you can say, hey, here's an example of a home I did that got 174,000 impressions. Here's another one that had 80,000. And you're giving very specific examples with the actual metrics, and other agents can't do that. So you're actually giving them specifics of what you do that other agents don't.
Yeah. And so that's the most important piece of it. People need to know that. Right. And then the, you know, obviously, you know, being a flat fee listing, like this is, there's no arguing that this is the best value that you're going to find, because it's not a discounted product at all. Right. This is a full force marketing program for less than you're going to pay. I can't guarantee that. I mean, I'm not going to like price match my competition or anything like that, but yeah, it's probably less than you're going to pay with most realtors. And so that's the double whammy. But people, you know, now when they call me, they've been seeing my ads for a long time. So when I say at the listing presentation, and I say this You know, like this is the core of my listing presentation is I guarantee more exposure. We'll get to the fee in a moment, right? And I, you know, like if someone asks me right up front, I'll tell them what I charge, right? It's not like, like a lot of realtors do this song and dance where, well, I need to have a look at the house first. And that kind of all depends, you know, and then you get to the second meeting and you got to sit there for an hour and then they finally show you your seller net. If, you know, like right out of the gate, I do the same thing with my clients now that you did with me, you know, the first phone conversation we had. And that is, you know, like I'm Bill Catlett. I guarantee more eyes on your listing than any other agent. And here's what I charge. And, you know, that, I mean, I'm just, you know, like I remove all the fluff and, you know, it's, you know, the proof is that that's a 4X change of my business in the time we've been doing this. Right. So if you want to get quantitative, right, qualitatively, I walk into people's houses all the time and my book is on their coffee table. That's happened numerous times where I didn't even send them a copy of the book. They got a copy of the book from a friend. They found it in a free little library and I saturate the free little libraries with my book. Or, you know, I had one where I walked in and the kids were singing, one of my listing jingles. So like qualitatively, I've already, like the kids have already hired me, right?
I've already brainwashed the kids.
Yeah. So,
and the parents are probably just thankful that they're not singing Frozen anymore. They're singing Bill Catlett's.
Oh yeah. You know, like right. Yeah. So, and that's, I mean, so I can't say the pizza box ad is where all of that started, but that ad has done a lot of heavy lifting. Because by the time people call me, they've already hired me. It's very rare. I think I've had three competitive listing presentations since then, where they were hired, where they were talking to numerous realtors. And in two of those cases, they just forgot to call the other realtors back. Like it wasn't even part of the conversation anymore. And it was, well, we're going to make a decision next Friday and we're going to meet with all these guys. And then I get a call, you know, like the next day saying, you know, we don't even really need to go through all this work of talking to these other people. And then the third one, that was the one listing that I pitched that I didn't get. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it works out to be like 1 out of 40 failure rate or something like that. That I can tolerate. I mean, it still put me on the floor that they didn't, you know, that they didn't hire me. You know, I mean, I'd say that's pretty near perfection. So that's the, I mean, it's a holistic, like there's a holistic view of marketing, right? There's no such thing as a direct response ad. I know that there's probably other industries where people respond to the ad directly and buy the product. But I think if in 2022, with all of the tools that we have, right, if you're trying to craft an ad that just gets people to put information into a lead form, so then you can call them endlessly and email them endlessly.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe there's something to be said for that. Like
That worked fairly well 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah,
the whole idea of let's drive people to a landing page or let's make them fill out a contact form and let's capture their contact information and put them on an email drip of all these autoresponders. That worked great 5, 10 years ago, I think, when this whole idea of online marketing was still like a novel idea. Like people weren't yet so jaded 5, 10 years ago about giving their contact information away online. But now people wake up every day and they look at their email inbox and they have dozens and dozens, if not 100, you know, emails from all these random companies over the years that they've signed up to their email list. And half the time they're like, I thought I unsubscribed from that. Why am I still getting emails from them? And so people now in 2022 and, you know, into 2023 and beyond, they're extremely skeptical of giving their contact information out to anyone. So marketing, if it's going to really work over the long term, has to be more pull than push. It has to be much more magnetic where you're convincing people to call you and reach out to you, not the other way around, where you generate a bunch of leads and then you start calling all those people. And, you know, so marketing has to be like that, especially in an industry like real estate, where so much trust goes into making the decision of which agent am I going to list my house with?
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's not something where they're thinking about selling their house, let's say in May, and then on, you know, April 30th, they click on a Facebook ad from Bill Catlett and they're like, oh, let's work with him. And then they call you from that one click on that one ad.
Right. Yeah.
Usually it's going to take dozens of touches and then repeatedly seeing you over months, which is why we set up the retargeting sequence to actually last 180 days. So they're seeing you constantly over a period of months with different ads. They're not, you know, they're not just seeing the same banner ad over and over again. They're seeing a huge diversity of ads. You mentioned at any given time, you might have 10 to 15 ads running. Most of those are retargeting.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's an important distinction. I hope everybody knows about retargeting by now, but it may not be a thing. Like this idea that you're just going to send an ad out to every random stranger, it's just not an efficient way to spend. Whereas if you've got people who are continually engaging with your content, like, you know, that's your audience. You're building your audience. I don't know what my audience size is. I think the last time I checked in with Carly it was approaching 80,000 people in the Facebook retargeting audience. And that's that's not all time. That's just from the last, you know, like you said, I think it's 180 days, but it's probably less than that. I mean, statistically, a lot of those people are probably long gone, but like the majority of those guys probably interacted within the last 30 to 90 days. So like, you know, that's the real takeaway is, we have this ability to retarget, right? Once we get people in the funnel, it becomes dirt cheap to talk to those people. And so, you know, and we know that people have to see a marketing message repeatedly before they're going to make a decision anyway. So this is, I mean, we're just leveraging that technology. And I mean, you know, that's something that sometimes if somebody really wants to see how the sausage is made, that's going to list with me, I'll walk them through how retargeting works. And in a very simple way, you know, I don't get down into the meat of it unless I know I'm unless I know I'm speaking to a marketer, right? But you know, most of the time I don't have to explain that stuff to people because the reason they called me,
they've been experienced.
They already know. Right. And so there's an important distinction here for anybody that is puzzled over how to get new business. And that is, would you rather have a lead or would you rather have an order? Right. Because you got to have 100 leads for one order or whatever your ratio is, right? And maybe, you know, and maybe it's because I'm a lousy lead converter, right? Like if you give me a stack of random contacts, right? It's, you know, I'm not Alec Baldwin's character from Glengarry Glen Ross, where it's like, you know, always be closing and coffee is for closers, right? I'm just not like, I'm not a sales wunderkind. And I mean, maybe I'm pretty lousy at sales. I don't know, but I'd rather just generate an order than have 1,000 leads that now I have to like sift through and find the needle in that haystack. Right.
Exactly. No one has time to do that, nor do they want to do that. Even if they did have time, I think the role of marketing now and into the future is not to generate leads. I mean, we're actually like platform, ironically, is running an ad right now from our Facebook page that says the headline of the ad is lead generation is overrated. And that's like kind of a subversive headline for a marketing company to say that, because so many agents think of lead generation and marketing as being synonymous. Like lead generation is marketing. And I just like, no, I completely disagree with that. I think marketing now is about convincing people over time and building trust and getting them to call you, getting them to message you, getting them to email you. So they're basically saying, hey, Bill, we want to work with you. What's the next step, right? They've basically already emotionally decided we want to work with Bill. We're not doing this, you know, song and dance of where we interview multiple agents. We just want to work with Bill, right? The more that your business shifts to that, the more scalable it is. Because you can actually grow and make more money and do more volume without necessarily spending 2 hours a day cold calling leads, you know?
Sure, sure. And, you know, that's the major shift for me, you know, the first week of platform, I filmed my very boring walkthrough tour video. I had, you know, it was a listing that had sat for a little bit. It was during the winter. I had a call from some people who had seen that video. And that was the only piece of content we had at the time. Right. And so they called me up and they said, hey, our realtor's on vacation and he doesn't really even know we're looking for a house because we quit looking last year, but we've watched this tour video like 6 or 7 times. And we really like, you know, we really like the house. We want to come have a look. So I opened up the house and because I gave them a tour, I was able to build a rapport, right? But they had seen me in the video. They met with me. I'm not going to write the offer for them. So I didn't get that side of the transaction. And I'm not bothered about that because they wrote, you know, at the time in 2019, Lincoln still wasn't, we hadn't made that surge into 20 offers on every house where people would waive inspections and give you their firstborn, right? We were on our way. But this house had sat for a couple of weeks. And so these guys came in, they said, hey, we're going to give our realtor a call right now. And they said to me, do you think the sellers, you know, would accept a full price offer with no inspections today? And I said, well, I mean, you know, I can't say one way or the other, but that sounds like a great offer. And that's the offer they wrote. Now, the difference between that and, well, we'll just, you know, we'll wait till our realtor gets back from vacation, you know, and maybe we saw this house on Zillow and, you know, maybe we like it, maybe we don't. And that particular ad, right? So in that case, you know, just having my face in the video, like they already knew who I was walking in the door, right? And so I think that's like, you know, you have to be willing to put yourself, your face is the brand, right? And your broker is not the brand. That's another huge takeaway. Brokers are not the brand. 50 years ago, brokers were the ones who had the ad outlays because it was expensive to advertise. And so, you know, if you're still relying on your broker for leads, I guess I feel sorry for you. But the point of that whole story is like the reason they wrote that fantastic offer and basically just handed us a sale was they were able to relate to me from the moment that they saw me. And so there's not like I said, I mean, maybe I'm kind of a lousy salesperson. I don't know. But all I did was
the marketing is basically doing the selling for you.
Yeah,
so
right,
when
right.
they come to you, they already like want to work with you.
Yeah.
So Bill,
builds massive trust very quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We only have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you two quick rapid fire questions.
Sure.
First is just getting really granular. What do you typically spend every month on your advertising? Like what's your ads budget every month?
Ads budget, if we're talking about ad spend and assets, photography, videography, time in the studio, you know, for your average listing, I'm going to probably spend to develop the ad assets and then promote them $800 to $1,000. And that's probably $400 worth of ad spend, at least, right? Because listing ads are a huge thing. So, you know, overall the budget that I aim for with my Facebook ad spend is about $1,800 to $2,000 if I'm listing a lot of property.
And that's because you're literally going into a recording studio and
yeah, you know. Well that's before the production, right? If I'm just looking at ad spend, you know, $1,800 to $2,000 seems to be the sweet spot for okay. my particular market. And I guess I could spend more, but you know, that's where it's at. And then all the cool. other asset production you know is on top of that. So I mean, you know, if I have a particularly busy listing month, you know,
it might be more, but obviously yeah. that's because you're going to make a lot more money.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, if you consider the assets as part of your marketing, right.
Yep.
$4,500 a month, probably on average.
Okay.
So cool. yeah, with all the assets.
So final question here is often when I'm on the phone with a realtor and they'll ask me a variation of the question, okay, what is platform? I keep seeing all your case studies. I keep seeing your retargeting ads. Maybe I listened to an episode of the podcast or I went to your website, but can you give me more specifics on like, what is platform? Like if I hire you, what do you actually do for me? What are the specifics of what you do when I join the platform marketing program? If someone asked you that, Bill, how would you put that into your own words? If an agent were asking you, hey, I heard you're with platform, what exactly do they do for you every month?
So, and let me think about that for half a second. Platform is a business development firm that happens to also do fantastic marketing. So, and what I mean by that is like the business development that I've gained through my relationship with you and through Carly and the rest of the team and the network of agents, right, that you're helping across the country. Because I mean, those are people that I talk to, you know, I've had two conversations with platform agents in the last week, and that's about, in an average week, I'll have 2 to 3 phone conversations with platform agents all over the country. Right.
Just like so, picking their brain or answering their questions, yeah, or having kind of like, you know, like mini mastermind phone calls.
And platform has, you know, the digital masterminds, you know, you and I have, you know, conversations from time to time. I've weekly conversations with Carly. So there's a lot of business development value with platform that is just not, I mean, you know, all the other marketing companies I ever looked at that are like, you know, we have ad templates and, you know, and stuff like that. And a guy in a call center, that's not biz dev. Right. So maybe even call it, you know, coaching, but I think coaching is kind of it's too fluffy of a word. So business development is a key factor here, in my relationship with platform. And, obviously, specializing that towards branding and marketing, because a huge proportion of what you should be spending your time on, if your goal is to own a business and not own a job, right? There's an important distinction there. If you're really an investor for your time, a huge proportion of your time should be dedicated towards branding, towards your story, towards, you know, just having a brand that builds trust. Right. And so that's biz dev, is like building the brand and then, you know, figuring out how to consistently build that marketing message. So that's my summation of platform. There's a lot of business development that goes on, you know, as a result of being affiliated with you guys.
Yeah. Usually how I summarize it is that we're a classic marketing agency that just happens to specialize in working with realtors, because we're not, you know, unlike a lot of the other companies, we're not a website company, we're not an IDX or CRM company, and we're also not just a coaching company. We're a marketing agency that just happens to specialize in working with realtors. So on a granular level, obviously we're going to be launching all of your Facebook ads, you know, Instagram retargeting. We even edit all of your videos. We put your videos on YouTube. So it's kind of like having a full-blown marketing department, but beyond just editing the videos and literally launching the ads, we're also writing all the ads and coming up with the concepts in the first place.
Yep,
so it's not like you have to generate the ideas. Mm-hmm. We're kind of doing that all for you. So I actually love how you put that. It's kind of like platform is my business development. And oh yeah, they also do my Facebook advertising and
soup to nuts, you know, and that's the really impressive thing is, you guys wear a lot of different hats in developing this stuff. And I know there's firms that, you know, just they have a vertical and then they scale that vertical. And, platform's not one of those companies where I'm like, where I ever have to worry about, okay, it's me and 10,000 other agents competing for your attention. I'm not sure how you could scale platform to be, you know, like to
service
that.
Actually, we can't. We've kind of determined that, you know, because we don't have tens of thousands of users. We have, as of this recording, I think we have about 215 realtors that we're working with across the entire country, 215. So we're not some tiny company that only has like 9 clients, but we also don't have 12,000, right? We have 215 clients. I think reasonably looking at a map of the US in terms of all the markets that maybe are still available that would make sense for a platform to hire us, like an agent to hire platform, we could probably grow to maybe around 250. So there's probably room to go from 215 to 250, something like that. So the model, I mean, honestly, isn't scalable in the classic sense of the term, in that we can't just grow to 500 and then 1,000 or whatever. But the flip side of that is that the results we get for realtors are so much better than other companies because we're not trying to be the biggest marketing company out there. We're trying to get the best results. And I think when you focus on that, just like in your business, when you focus on just getting results for clients, what happens is you get tons of referrals and your business grows because of that. And I'd way rather run a business that old fashioned way than just try to scale at all costs, even if the results aren't good for your clients. So Bill, final parting thoughts here. What's your final piece of advice for anyone who just started the platform program. So they've already signed up. Maybe they're in their first month. They're just getting going. What's your advice to them of what you would do differently if you could go back to when you first started? Like, what should you do in your first 6 months of platform?
Challenge the notion that you can't afford to spend more on ads thoroughly. Challenge that. There's this firm resistance, right? So if you're like, and the numbers are different for every market, but they seem to hover around like, you know, when I first got in, I spent $600 to $700 a month. And I mean, that was really squeezing a budget. And I understand a lot of agents were, you know, where I was. Get to a point where, you know, if it means, you know, like one of the things that I did, I looked at my coffee budget, you know, that first month. And I was like, well, every time I drink a coffee, right, like a $5 Starbucks, I've just made a choice to drink a coffee instead of spending $5 on ads. And that $5 on ads changes my life in ways that the coffee's not going to, like, just go buy a bag of beans and make it at home, right? So, like, find every way you can squeeze and make it work. If you're not comfortable now, challenge everything. Challenge every purchase decision you make, because the most important thing, the most important expense of your business, right? Like, if my car blew up, I can take an Uber, right? Or I can, you know, I could ask my client to give me a ride to the house, right? But like, without the advertising, we don't have growth, right? So challenge every notion of, I can't spend that much money on ads. And instead ask yourself, how much money could I spend on ads? How much comfort could I remove from my life? Because you're adding to your life later, right? So that's the first thing.
And I'll just wrap up by saying this. If you're someone who doesn't have a huge advertising budget and you're listening to this, remember how we started this episode, that creativity quite literally gives you a 10-to-1 lift in the effectiveness of your ads. Like, we're talking about going from a 10-second video view to a 10-cent video view to a 1-penny video view. So it literally made a 10-to-1 impact in the results Bill got in his marketing when he started putting more creativity into his ads. So that's a force multiplier early on. Even if you don't have that big ads budget, you're building towards that point. Make your stuff as interesting and creative as possible, because then your business will grow and it creates the money necessary to fuel more growth. So Bill, thank you for your time. I think this has been an awesome episode, and I really do honestly think that you might just be the most creative real estate agent in the United States of America. So go check out Bill Catlett's page on Facebook if you haven't already. It's Bill Catlett Realtor Nebraska Realty. That's the name of his Facebook page, Bill Catlett Realtor Nebraska Realty. And Bill, keep kicking ass.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.